Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Cinderella story, out of nowhere, a former Grangekeeper now about to become the Masters champion.
It's 5 o'clock.
My God, my swing feels like an unfolding lawn chair.
A tradition unlike any other.
I tell you, I don't understand it. I'm playing the worst game of my life.
Hey, put yourself down. You're not good. You stink.
It's a Masters Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080.
For
the Fan.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Wednesday. Good little Wednesday. It's Rob and Sue, your sports bros. Coming up here, Arizona has fired Sean Miller.
It's about time. I love that they only fired him after he stopped winning. Like, nothing else. Okay. They did the Les Miles thing. You're not any good anymore. All right. Time to hit the road.
Tiger Woods crash news. Coming up tonight in the club. I'm a doctor.
You are?
Yeah, because I Google things.
Oh, WebMD?
And I get it right. That is becoming a thing.
Really?
My latest from studyfinds.org. Yes. You'll love this one.
Well, I got a buddy of mine who's a good doctor, and he talks about how frustrating that can be, because everyone that comes in now has obviously Googled their symptoms.
Hell yeah.
And he says the worst part is that when they're correct and he confirms it, oh man.
Yep.
The high and mighty, there's the sense of that he should be paying them, right? Well, why'd I even come in? I was correct. I knew what was going. Write me my prescription, peasant. Let me go on my way.
Who needs
medical school when I have WebMD?
That's right. Well, I guess you're going to find out in the club tonight how often people are right.
Okay.
And the number may surprise you.
Look,
there's a lot of information out there.
There is a lot of information out
there. And now they do the whole Teladoc thing.
The scary thing is, though, that if you Google some generic symptoms, like just Google a COVID symptom, you could have COVID, you could have allergies or AIDS and dying. Like there are so many sketchy things.
Mike, do you have AIDS with your poopy butt today?
No, I do not.
You sure?
I guess I'm not sure, no, but I'm pretty sure.
What? The bubble guts can be a sign of COVID.
Yeah.
Or dysentery, you know, yellow fever.
Or, you know, just a regular Wednesday.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
It's like when you go, I went to
something you ate?
I'm in a little pain.
Really?
A little bit, yeah. In the stomach region.
A little something, something.
A little something.
Are you backed up?
Maybe.
Let's talk about it.
I don't really want to get into too many details.
Too much cheese? Cheese.
Mac and cheese.
When you go to, like, I had to go, like, physical therapy on my shoulder today. And the amount of information that you, or like the dentist is this way too, like what, like the amount of stuff that you have to fill out that has nothing to do, like what?
Nothing to do with that visit?
Yes, nothing at all. Like the medical, like the amount of forms that they make you like kind of go through and like the list of things, like do you have like X? I'm like, oh my God. Like I'm going in to get some ultrasound and some range of motion on his shoulder.
You know what pisses me off? You're right about that. Although the one I'm thinking of, I never have to fill anything out at my dentist. The one that
my
I do
has a very thorough checklist.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like he's going to give me a prostate and then like a cleaning. It's a whole thing.
So mine doesn't, but the doctor does, but it's usually pretty short. What bothers me is when they ask you the same questions that they've are like, I've gone to the same doctor for a long time.
Yeah.
And so it's like, why are you asking me about my drinking again?
You know,
damn good and well how much I drink.
Nothing has changed.
And by the way, does anybody tell the truth on those little alcohol questionnaires?
Oh, no.
Come on. You're the doctor. You're supposed to diagnose it.
Yeah, you shrug that
Figure
off.
It out. How are my liver levels?
I always go on the low end.
Hell yeah.
Like, oh, the...
Oh, it's... Yeah, it's yeah, I mean, twice a week.
Sometimes I have, like, five in a week, so five.
And maybe I am out in left field on this one, but, like, if you're going in to get some, like, PT on a shoulder, what does your alcohol, tobacco, or marijuana use have anything to do with my shoulder?
What does the how's your sphincter question?
Yeah, I don't like, what?
Have to it do with is. Anything.
It's like if you... Do you Been have good. Any problems, like, prostate, blah? I'm like, what? Like, do I have a bladder problem? Were you afraid that I'm going to urinate in the middle of the session?
You know what it is? It's protocols. It's red tape.
You just got to go through everything.
Yeah.
That was my first visit today, and I swear to God, the intake form, it was like writing a novel. Can't I just be like, I'm okay other than my arm? It hurts.
Well, let's get you down to Mexico for rehab. I bet they don't have that down there.
Nah, it's probably a little bit easier. And
like, come on in here.
And it's frustrating for me because they always say, have you had other...
Take off your pants.
Have you had other surgeries or do you have other problems? And I don't fill anything out anymore because I'm not listing like 9 or 10 surgeries over the last like 20 years. Or I go in, he's like, does your neck hurt? I'm like, yes, it does, but it has nothing to do with this. Why does your neck hurt? Because it hurts every day. Let's focus on this. Stop worrying about it. This hurts. It's a very frustrating process for me when I'm seeing a medical professional for the first time.
And then this guy's right. What they do is they get your questionnaire and then they never read it.
No.
And then they ask you the same damn questions when you go in there.
Exactly. Why is, let's fill it out together and save me the 20 minutes.
Well, now that we've covered that.
They're just trying to keep you busy because they're behind schedule. So they want to give you a mindless task while you wait 20 minutes past your appointment
time. I didn't
even
get to any therapy today. We just spent the entire time with the forms and then like an examination worrying about everything else that hurt.
Yeah, the doctor's running behind, but here's a 188 questionnaire for you while you wait.
Killing me.
So anyway, club hour 6 to 7, going to be fun. Always is. Right now, the hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
You know, I hope we elect to kick ass is what I hope we do.
Eyes without fears.
Number 5.
Plenty of day baseball, including the White Sox, who were trying to sweep the Mariners. Alas, they could not.
No, the mighty M's.
The Mariners win 8-4 thanks to a 7-run sixth.
I'm asking the question. Well, no, because they scored a bunch in their first one. I was like, is that more than they've had in the combined, like, previous 5 games? But they had the explosion there in the back half of the season opener. Their offense stinks, though.
They exploded like Mike's butt. The Mariners are now 3-3. Giants beat the Padres in extra innings today, 3-2. Cardinals shut out the Marlins, 7-0. Dylan Carlson hit a grand slam. Braves swept the Nationals in a doubleheader, 2-0 in the second game, and the first one was 7-6. Reds hammered the Pirates, 11-4, but who doesn't hammer the Pirates? The Royals lost to the Indians, 4-2. Damn it. Twins over Tigers, 3-2. Red Sox won. They beat the Rays, 9-2.
And more importantly, the A's yes. are off the schneid.
The A's won.
Number 4.
They came from behind to beat the Dodgers, 4-3. Phillies over the Mets, 8-2.
How do they keep rolling Kenley Jensen out there?
Kenley Jansen.
Yeah. What did I say?
Kenley Jensen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. You had it backwards.
Flip it. They ran him out there, like, stop. Thought that ended in the World Series where they figured out that's not a good idea anymore.
Rangers over the Blue Jays, 2-1. Cubs lost the Brewers, 4-2. Nike has suspended its endorsement relationship with Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, again, this is why I said, like, at this point, with the number of women, all the same stories and people coming public, there is an official police investigation. The NFL will put him on the non-exempt list, I'm guessing, you know, if this thing keeps dragging on and you get close to the season, he will not play with this hanging over.
They claim to be deeply disturbed by his 21 or 22, whatever it is, accusations of sexual misconduct, and they will continue to monitor the situation. He also loses beats by Dre, and Reliant Energy said they are no longer moving forward with him as a brand ambassador.
Yeah. Because, look, at this point, the best-case scenario is that he's really inappropriate and creepy. And that is the best case. And so, just going forward, this is bad for him.
Tonight in the NBA, Kevin Durant is back for the Nets. They are taking on the Pelicans. And it's a tight little ditty. First quarter, 33-30. Blazers don't play, so they will not give up 135 tonight.
That's good. I saw that Zion could break a record set in 2001 by Shaq. Mm-hmm. This would be the most consecutive 20-point games while shooting 50% or better from the field.
Okay.
Dude, his efficiency...
He gets to the rim.
His efficiency rating right now is... He had 34 the other night on 67% shooting. Like, he is dominant. It's just... largely going unnoticed because, well, the Pelicans suck.
Well, the Mavericks are chasing the Blazers for that sixth spot, try to get out of that play-in series thingy.
Yeah.
And they get another easy one tonight. Dallas won five in a row. They're playing at Houston. And then Utah is at Phoenix tonight. That's your game of the night. That'll be on ESPN at 7. Tiger Woods signed off on the release of his accident report, and it says that he was driving between 84 and 87 miles per hour in a 45-mile-per-hour zone.
Never touched the brakes.
The primary cause of the crash was driving at an unsafe speed and being unable to navigate the curves of the roadway. They report that he may have mistakenly hit the accelerator instead of the brake. He did hit a tree at 75 miles per hour.
How on earth do you... I mean...
He's lucky to be alive.
Exactly. Well, he's lucky to be alive. He's lucky he didn't kill anyone else. How did this not get investigated? I mean, come on.
They also determined that due to the state of his injuries at the time, they did not think a field sobriety test was appropriate. There were no witnesses, so the black box information is not sufficient to cite him or charge him with a crime.
He got lucky. He's lucky to be alive. He's lucky they didn't investigate this. I think he got done a solid. Whoever showed up there was a golf fan. And I just love that he may have accidentally hit the accelerator. Seems likely. I know that happens to me quite a bit. Quite a bit. You mistake one for the other.
Number one.
Oh, wait, number one. That's some ballsy move on a really that road. One. You seen the photos of it? On a curvy ass road, hitting 87 in a 45.
Yeah.
He was trying to get to 88 and travel back in time.
And it was fast. Downhill, right?
Yeah, downhill.
Very fast.
Terrifying.
Yeah, a lot of people
you're not familiar with an SUV.
A lot of people are saying that that area is dangerous anyway.
Yeah,
at 45.
Yeah, they're saying
much
it is,
less
it
85.
Is known for accidents.
Sean Miller is out as men's basketball coach at Arizona. 12 seasons, he went 302 and 109, but in each of the last three seasons, he only won 17, 21, and 17 games. And then there's that whole NCAA investigation thing.
So it just goes to show you can be the world's biggest a-hole. You can be caught up in an NCAA and FBI investigation, basically be dead to rights. That's all fine. But if you lose some games, your ass is out of there.
As for who will replace him, former Wildcat Damon Stoudemire is coaching at Pacific. His name has come up. You also have Josh Pastner. He's a former Lute Olson disciple. He's now at Georgia Tech. And Mark Few's right-hand man, Tommy Floyd. His name is quite popular.
Is Arizona doing the, you know, we're going to have to hire an Arizona man? Because Sean Miller wasn't an Arizona guy.
No, I don't think they're, I don't.
Yeah, they're not all crowned up like that.
Although they may, you know, Damon Stoudemire's an Arizona man. So yeah. Is Josh Pastner. So Maybe they will. Hot 5 refreshed by Coors Light. Live sports are back. Always better with an ice cold Coors Light. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. All right, more on this Tiger crash news coming up next. It's 518 on the Fan.
It's time for Who's Leading the Charge. A look under the hood at the coaches, players, and teams getting it done. Brought to you by Battery Exchange.
To the left, dropping, it is a fair ball. Trevon is scoring with joy. Here comes J.P. Crawford. Ty France is chugging home. How about this little balloon off the bat?
Yes, Kyle Seager, three-run double there.
He was hitting 144 coming into this game, so he was due.
He's clutch.
Yeah.
Man. He's like Teddy Bridgewater.
Is he clutch?
Yeah.
this case.
Good player.
In this case.
Kyle Seager, good little player. Battery Exchange, over 14 area locations to serve you. Free electrical system checks for your vehicle. Battery Exchange with an X.com.
This is a Masters Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
Hey, we got to give some love to Mike and his bubbly guts today, because he got this right yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
We were trying to decide who will get hurt faster, Giancarlo Stanton or Aaron Judge.
And we both went Stanton. And,
yeah.
And it took no time at all.
For sure. And Mike, the Yankee fan, said, no, not so fast. It'll be Aaron Judge. He is not playing tonight.
Sure enough.
Blip, blip.
Tweaked something, did he?
So nice job,
he
Mike.
He has side soreness.
Which means he's out 3 months.
Yeah. Well, which means an oblique strain that will be found in 3 days after he plays too much and hurts it. And then he'll be out until June.
Well, Tatis, right? He separated his shoulder swinging too hard.
Yeah, he's been having shoulder issues, they said.
Yeah.
But
big old cut and missed. And
I love that the Padres tweeted the official injury, a shoulder subluxation. It's like the official term for a dislocated shoulder.
Dislocated his shoulder.
I remember reading it like, what? Just say dislocated shoulder. You trying to fool everybody with this subluxation or however you pronounce it?
You got a little technicality there.
Why are teams?
He's got some labrum tears in there too that are minor, but they're saying it is not a surgery injury until it is a surgery.
Wasn't
issue.
He getting a second opinion and hoping for the best?
Look,
they ain't going to put him under the knife. They're gonna do everything they can to keep him upright.
Dude, as
upright
someone that
until...
battles two shoulder problems, I'm just telling you, when shoulder issues don't just magically go away, they take a long time, and they just suck. You think they get a little... It's like a hamstring. Like you're like, wow, how can it last that long? Well, because every time you think it starts to feel a little bit better, and then you go out and you push it a little bit, and think about the torque that guy puts... on that shoulder every time he swings a bat, or I don't know if it's his throwing shoulder or if it's the other one or not, but I mean, there's just a lot of torque when you swing as hard as he does. And you know, that can tend to upset the cart.
Why are teams so weird about injuries in sports? That seems to be like an antiquated thing.
I know,
you know, they get like, get over it.
I get in college because, you know, it's like the, you know, I guess I'm in HIPAA all around, but yeah, it does seem a bit ridiculous. Like, we know he's hurt.
Right.
We understand. He's hurt. Just God. A little transparency would go a long way.
Okay, so on the Tiger tip, yo,
mm-hmm.
The Tiger crash report is out. He was going 84 to 87 miles per hour in a very dangerous 45 mile per hour zone.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people that are saying that road is... You know, it's known for it. The highway patrol knows it, or I guess the sheriff's department is ever in charge of that. Fatalities happen there. We even had someone that listens to us that said he grew up in that area on that road, and he said it's scary at 45. And you look at some of the photos, downhill and some serious curves.
But that dude was doing 85?
85, yeah.
Now, of course, he doesn't live there.
No.
So maybe he didn't know, but Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, that is, you are really humming at that point.
A couple of things, too. A couple of folks have texted in and are saying, Malcolm Gladwell, I guess, covered this on one of his podcasts, that it's easy to mistake the gas pedal for the brake when you start to lose control.
Really?
That's a thing. And, yeah, it happens more than you think. And perhaps that is the explanation. I feel like there's way more to that. And Tiger's getting away with one here.
It's hard to give him the benefit of the doubt with his history.
Well, there are a couple of things. One, he was very much in a weird state the day before on TV with Jim Nance.
Yeah.
If you didn't see that interview, it was like, and it just happens to coincide with the fact that he's hurt again and on pain pills and just had back surgery again.
Yep.
So then the next day, they say he's all fired up at the hotel in the morning. Now, I know some Nike people who have worked with Tiger, and one of them told me, you know, there are two things that are weird about this story. One is he's never alone, and he was alone. And two, he's never late, and he was late.
Yeah.
And so I just think there's a lot of stuff here that it's like, that wasn't normal Tiger Woods driving that car.
Yeah.
And
the fact that you jumped a curb, hit it, like at no point, you never attempted. And I get like when you lose control, but at no point even going into that curve, did you think to hit the break? I don't know. I just that's
weird.
It seems very odd to me.
Very weird. But anyway, he's getting away with it.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's over. And I also think this.
I will say he didn't get away with it because he may never walk normally again or play golf. So there are certainly repercussions. It's just I find it fascinating. I do not believe for a second had that been a normal person. That there isn't a much bigger investigation.
Well,
and he's damn lucky that he didn't hit anyone or kill anyone else.
Well, I was going to say, like, because no one else was involved, it really doesn't matter if he's cited or if it's a crime. Yeah. It's just that it's Tiger, and we all know him. And I think it's also odd that he said okay to the release of the report, almost as if, because he's super private.
Yes, his yacht is called Privacy.
And so I just feel like that is a, see, nothing to see here.
Yeah.
Nothing to see here. Because they released that, and I don't know. I don't know. I don't buy it.
I'm with you.
It doesn't matter.
Seems a bit fishy, but at this point, like you said,
neither here nor there.
Hopefully, the guy is. Hopefully, you guys figured something out. But you know, for someone that has had some pill problems and injuries, you're about to go through the most horrific injury of your life, and I just hope that, in all honesty, that he just gets his S squared away, and that he ends up being able to live a quasi-normal life and walk around with his kids. And I mean, he is facing a massive, massive challenge here.
All right, coming up next, Sean Miller is out at Arizona. Who will replace? Is Damon Stoudemire a good replacement?
I do not know enough about what he's doing at Pacific to make a statement on that. Do you follow Pacific basketball?
No, but I looked it up today.
Okay.
And he was coach of the year in their conference.
Oh, well, there you go.
But his win-loss record will not impress you.
Yeah, but when he took over a bad program, you know, right?
Sure. So they say.
I always say this. If he didn't go to Arizona and his name wasn't Damon Stoudemire, would he get that job? If the answer is no, don't hire him.
I'm going to say no.
Then don't hire him. I will never understand.
Well, I'm not in charge of the hire.
I will never understand the, well, he played here, so give it to him.
All right, well, anyway, we'll get that in. And is the revival of West Coast basketball for real? 5:30, here's Mike.
This is a Masters Week edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
Well, he's no Bill Self. Can't survive the NCAA investigation.
Well, he should have been better. He would have survived it had he kept recruiting and winning. But it turns out it's hard to recruit when you can't pay players anymore. And it's hard to win when you don't have great recruits.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He's no Bill Self.
He is no Bill Self. Bill Self went through this same thing and got a lifetime contract.
Damn
Sean
right.
Sean Miller just got shown the door.
Yep. Sean Miller out as Arizona basketball coach. That's pretty big news. I don't really know how good that job is nationally.
Well, I mean,
it's kind of like when Indiana came open. It's like, is that really a great job?
Arizona and Oregon have been the two best Pac-12 schools over the last decade. Under Lute Olson, Arizona was probably one of the top, 10 jobs in America. It certainly has fallen off a bit, but.
Well, but that's the same as Indiana. Bob Knight.
Yeah.
You know, it was great, but.
And it's been okay.
What has
since,
it been
but
since?
It hasn't quite been. Miller had success there. I mean, he won.
Yeah, he did.
You know, I don't think he ever got to a Final Four, but I think he made
three Elite Eights.
He made a three Elite Eight. So
that's not good enough.
Well, and the problem is that, and this is kind of the thing about like Syracuse. Although you know Syracuse finds a way to do it, and they get into the tournament and made runs. But when the NCAA starts looking down at you a little bit, you got to do a little cleaner. And so the thing is. How dirty has Arizona been, and is the next guy going to have to do it by the books? Because I can assure you in the Pac-12, and you know when you have to play by a different set of rules than everyone else does, it can be a bit challenging.
So they won 32 games, 32-5, I think with Ayton and those guys.
Yeah.
And the next year they lost in the first round, and then they didn't make the tournament.
And then last
then
year
it was COVID.
No tournament. This year it was self-imposed.
And then they had the ban. So
because they're trying. And here's the thing. That self-imposed was trying to mitigate future NCAA sanctions. That doesn't mean that the NCAA isn't going to punish them. So you have to realize that, like, I know Eric Musselman's name is getting kicked around. But if you're Musselman and you've got a cush gig at Arkansas, you just landed a couple nice transfers. You're coming off a nice run in the NCAA tournament. And by the way, you're making a bunch of money at Arkansas. Do you really want to go sign up for an Arizona program that you're not certain what it's going to be facing NCAA-wise? I think Arizona may have a hard time luring a bigger name like a Musselman to that job.
They might, which is, again, I go back to Indiana. They ended up getting Mike Woodson, which was kind of an out-of-the-box hire.
Yeah.
And that may be true of Arizona with Damon Stoudemire. You know, I was looking at Stoudemire's coaching record at Pacific, and he was the coach of the year. Wait, hold on. Damn it.
But he was 9-9 this year.
Yeah, they were 9-9, and his record there is only 71-77. I mean, they've had a losing record every year except for the 1 year he had him 23-10 and won coach of the year. So, I mean, is that a good hire? I don't know. I think it's interesting, these former player hires like Juwan Howard and Penny Hardaway.
Well, under Lute Olson, you could have Luke Walton, who's the Kings head coach.
Yeah.
And he's not doing anything in Sacramento. Miles Simon is a Lakers assistant coach.
Yeah.
If you wanted to go down, you want to go down that road as far as, you know, the ex-player thing.
But well, yeah.
Although Luke Walton hasn't been successful at either of his head coaching stops. And, you know, Simon is just an assistant. But I guess that, I mean, that's the Juwan Howard thing. Juwan Howard was just an assistant in the NBA when they tagged him.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about these types of hires. Like, if they hired Damon Stoudemire, I don't know. I don't know what to think of that.
I see. I would be.
Could be great. Could be terrible.
I would say no, because, again, if you are hiring someone that wouldn't even be a candidate for the job if his name wasn't Damon Stoudemire, then I don't get that. And you can't tell me that record at Pacific lands you the Arizona job if your name isn't Damon Stoudemire. Even if you're an ex-player, let's say that's Michael Dickerson, right? I still don't think it lands you that job. So when you read through the resumes, the very first thing they say at the top of Dana Stoudemire is they talk about his time as a player and in the NBA. And I don't.
Well, that's how you get kids.
I guess. Right.
I mean, that's the idea. But I don't know. Can he coach? I mean, don't you have to be able to coach at some point?
One would think.
And maybe he's a good coach. I don't know. I don't know enough. But you're right. Arizona's going to have a hard time getting a guy. I just wonder if, you know, this revival of West Coast basketball, you know, it looks like. Again, I'll say it again. I think in the college basketball, it's all about the coach.
Yeah.
Make the right hire, and you're probably going to have a pretty damn good program. And, you know, Oregon did with Dana Altman. Mm-hmm. It looks like UCLA has with Mick Cronin. And if Arizona gets this right, they'll be right back to being Arizona.
Yeah.
It's really... I mean, that's, but you make that's the
wrong,
just it.
You make the wrong hire. And
it's like football jobs are so different. I think USC, you know, like you can make the wrong hire at USC. The guy can still win 9 games.
And he has.
Yeah, a lot, right? Yeah. And so I just think in college basketball, it's really dependent on the coach. So you got to get this right. Who that guy is, I don't know. And especially with sanctions coming down, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we'll find out here exactly what that brand name for Arizona still means.
But West Coast, you know, the Pac-12 with Gonzaga doing what it's doing, with Oregon being real strong, and if Arizona can get back up with UCLA, you know, the West Coast revival is happening.
Yeah.
USC's doing a good job right now. They hired the right guy. Mm-hmm.
That guy's recruiting.
That
Tommy Lloyd, the Mark Few's head assistant, do a lot worse than that, right? You go down that road, go hire the guy that's been at the right hand of Mark Few this entire time.
Is he a good recruiter? Is he? I mean, I don't know anything about him.
I guess when I was reading through today, they were saying that his specialty has been a lot of the European prospects.
Ah.
That a lot of their foreign players that they have built so much on.
Okay.
That's his direct influence. And they were saying with Arizona and maybe with some restrictions and, you know, maybe not being able to go after the 5-star kids, that could be a way to kind of right the ship a little bit, be able to go down that angle.
Well, I remember when Chris Peterson, you know, he kept getting his top guys picked off, right?
Yeah.
And some of them were good.
Yeah, you never know.
And then some of them were duds and were totally exposed without Chris Peterson. Like, was it Dan Hawkins?
Dan Hawkins was the guy, and everyone thought it was him, and it turned out, you know, it was Chris Peterson.
So
maybe it's been this Lloyd guy all along, and Mark Few's the fraud.
Few's terrible.
He goes and resurrects Arizona. Meanwhile, Few falls right on his ass.
Yeah, Josh Pastner is the other one, and he's the kid who was like a water boy for Lute Olson.
Yeah, he's a walk-on.
And then, yeah, and then he was on his bench, and now he's at Georgia Tech. But he's had some
He's had some NCAA problems, yeah, too. So do you really want to go hire an NCAA?
That's tough.
Yeah, an NCAA issue when you just got done firing a guy for NCAA issues.
He must not want to coach. But to me, with all these coaching jobs open, Texas was open, and Indiana, Arizona, pretty high-profile jobs. The one guy that's sitting out there that is the best guy that's sitting out there, he must not want to coach, is John Beilein.
Yeah.
John Beilein was great at Michigan.
And he's old.
And he flamed out in the NBA. Yeah. He is old, but a lot of these guys are old. I mean, you know, it's not exactly a young man's game. And he's probably got years left in it. He just must not, he must want to just retire. Yeah. But he could go back to a college and do some damage.
He's 68, and, you know, he may just, after that NBA thing and the bad taste in his mouth, he may just be sitting on it. Because I'm sure he got a pile of money after getting canned there in Cleveland.
Or maybe if he takes another job, he doesn't get that money.
Yeah. So maybe he's going to sit there and, you know, just be an old crotchety guy somewhere.
Yeah. Yell at his TV as a coach watching the tournament, blaming all the other coaches for being crappy.
But you're right. He was real damn good.
He was great. Did a great job. All right. Well, Arizona. Rip Sean Miller.
Hey, it's good for the rest of the Pac-12, right? Is maybe Arizona falls off. I mean, they kind of already have. But
I was going to say, I don't know. I think Oregon's kind of taken that.
Yeah, they have.
They've owned Arizona.
They have. Oregon's been the best program, and now if UCLA rises up. And that's the other thing. You know, in a conference like the Pac-12, if Oregon is where they're at and UCLA rises up and becomes a national power, like, someone's got to go down. Right. I mean, it's, I suppose you could have the Big Ten situation where you have six or seven good teams. But a lot of times, you know, it's when someone creates a vacuum, someone else fills it. And, you know, maybe this is the time for Arizona to be down as, you know, another school or two rises up. You know, Colorado's got a good program.
Yeah. That guy, what's his name? What's his nuts over there?
And then don't forget a good job about the Tinkler.
Yeah, he's doing a good job. Who's the Colorado coach? Who's old? What's his nuts?
Boy, I do not remember that.
Thad Boyle or Tad something? Hello? Anyone? Anyone?
Tad Boyle.
Yes. Boyle.
Are correct, sir. I like you pulled that one out. You're like, Tad Boyle.
Rank the coaches in the Pac-12.
No, I will not.
Do it.
No.
All right, fine. I'll pull them up because I know you don't know who half of them are.
Number one, Kyle Smith.
Well, you got what? Bobby Hurley, you got, I don't know.
He sucks.
Who did Utah just hire?
They hired Wade Smith.
Did they hire Wade Smith?
Yeah, they hired the Utah State guy, and his name's Smith. I don't know what his first name is.
I don't know who Cal's coach is.
They have Mark Fox, I think.
Is Mike Montgomery still there?
You think.
Yes, they have Mark Fox. Yes.
How do you know these things?
Well, we just talked about Mark Fox yesterday, or when we were looking at the coaching database.
Yeah.
And I'm a sports guy. I'm a really smart sports guy.
You're just dialed in.
You guys
in.
Don't know that by now?
You're just dialed in that
also,
way.
Also, Jared Haas, the former Rock Chalker, is leading Stanford.
Yes, I do know that.
Okay. Utah's guy is Craig Smith. Washington has Mike Hopkins.
Mm-hmm. Washington, the shine has come off of that quite a bit.
Come on back to Syracuse.
When they hired him, boy, people were all kinds of fired up.
Would you want
that.
Him to be Jim Boeheim's replacement?
Yes.
Really?
After what's happened at UW?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that.
Cougs have Kyle Smith.
I would say, look, I don't care, honestly, who that is. If ranking them, you go, I think Altman's one. I think you probably got to go. You probably got to go Andy Edfield, number two.
Cronin.
Yeah, you got Mick Cronin. Although, you know, Cronin might be two.
Cronin's done a good job everywhere he's been.
Yeah, I mean, the Cincinnati team. So you might go Cronin two, and then you go Andy.
And then it's like everybody
and
else.
And then I think there is a significant drop off. Obviously, you know, the douche canoe at Arizona, Sean Miller, would have been up there. He's a damn good coach. Good coach before he got to Arizona, but he's gone. And so I think you definitely have a pecking order there.
They need better
coaches.
Those
top guys. And then after that, I think there is a drop off.
Point being, they need better coaches in the league.
it certainly would help. Certainly would help to have a high profile thing. So maybe it is good for the Pac-12 if Arizona does hire a hammer guy.
That's what I think.
And you have another elite program that rises up.
If they get this right, and then you have Oregon, USC, and UCLA doing their thing, Pac-12 basketball could look a lot better here in the coming years. And you forgot Tad Boyle. You didn't put him in the top four.
Yeah, Colorado has done a nice job there. It seems year in and year out, Colorado is a good program.
And
Bobby Hurley had a lot of hype when he came in there.
Every time I watch them, they suck.
It hasn't quite materialized.
Would you like bonus sports?
I would love bonus sports.
Well, that's what you're going to get.
Thank you.
Coming up next, 549 on The Fan.
This is Who's Money in Sports. A look at winning performances and the coaches, players, and teams who get it done. Brought to you by Guild Mortgage.
5.9 left for Denver. Inbound Jokic. Head fake on the three. Spins on Plumlee. One-legged jumper.
Got it!
1.5 seconds to go. Denver's blowing out the Pistons in the first half in Denver.
Doesn't everyone blow out the Pistons? Regardless of where it's at?
I don't know. They're not very good.
Seems to go hand in hand, but...
I know that.
That Jokic guy, he's really, really
MVP!
Good.
MVP!
Well, a lot of people think it's him or Lillard.
What?
A lot of people think, when you look at the rankings, it's Lillard and him.
Yeah,
one,
Lillard's
two.
Number two in all the rankings, or was last
and
time I
Joker's
checked.
And the Joker's number one.
So I've seen Lillard's odds plummeting.
And by the way, the Nuggets, since the Gordon trade, they've been really quite good.
You think the Blazers could have gotten Aaron Gordon?
Didn't need him.
They didn't want him.
Didn't want him.
They got Covington. What are you talking about? Scott and Brian at Guild Mortgage. Find the loan to fit your life. Go to homeloansbyscottandbrian.com. Select from hundreds of loan products tailored to fit your needs. Homeloansbyscottandbrian.com.
This is a Masters Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Lane Forms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
Live look in on Mike in the bathroom.
He's having some issues. God be with you, Mike.
Here's your bonus sports. The Blazers list Yusuf Nurkic. Questionable tomorrow night against Utah.
Zach Collins still out.
No.
So questionable.
Yes, he is.
Now Norman Powell. Also on the injury.
Yeah, Norman Powell's got an inflamed toe.
He's probable.
Yeah. He's got a sore toe. He'll be fine.
Next thing we know, that's turf toe, and he's out for 2 months.
Turf toe is so damn painful. That is the most embarrassing but debilitating injury.
Why do they call it turf toe?
Is you guys got it a lot from playing on AstroTurf.
Because it's just so hard.
Yeah, it's like repetitive stress.
Yeah, the repetitive stress of it. So,
but you can get it from any...
Same thing. You know, basketball players can get it. They just called it turf toe back in the day because AstroTurf was, you know, today's player. Back in my day, people don't realize how, if you never played on it, how truly awful turf was to play.
Well, all you had to do is walk on it once and go, God, they play on this? It's like cement.
Yep. The Michael, I don't know if you've ever had the pleasure of being down there, and you probably were a little young, but the Carrier Dome, oh my God.
I had the pleasure of being down there, but they had replaced it by the time I went there.
They replaced it with field turf.
I went to Olympic Stadium in Montreal when the Expos played there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was that.
Yeah, and
it was concrete.
Yeah.
I remember when we went
out. It's really thin.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just like, that was the thing. There's places that had more cushioning than others, but I remember going out on the field at the Carrier Dome in Syracuse, and not only did it feel like concrete, but it was sharp. Like, we couldn't stretch on it. Like, when you lay down, it hurt to lay down. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And so, like, when we came out, they have, like, turf strips that you can put on your arms, and the Syracuse guys were just covered in them. And we were like, oh, we now understand why. Not only did we get our ass kicked, but I left about 3 pounds of flesh on the field of the Carrier Dome.
Yeah, you might as well just paint the cement green.
Yes.
Because it's really all it was just like a thin layer of...
Yeah.
And this new stuff with the rubber...
It's way better.
...is awesome.
There are a lot of people that like playing on it better because it's softer than grass. I will always prefer grass, but when I was my last year at BYU, we put in field turf. I don't know if the main stadium, I don't know if the stadium has it at BYU now, but... we never did. I was always grass, but our practice fields were field turf. And then in the NFL, most of the practice stuff was all becoming field turf. And now it's everywhere. And it just, it's really nice. It's nice and soft and cushy. But when you get a really nice maintained grass field, Alabama, best grass I've ever seen in my entire life, in a stunning development. It was amazing. It was like playing on a putting green. But I'll bet you that's probably field turf now just because of the cost.
It says Lavelle Edwards Stadium is still natural grass.
Ah, it's wonderful. That's a really cool, it's a nice stadium. It's a nice field, nice backdrop, but it's still the Alabama grass. I'll never forget it. Everything they did down there was first class all the way.
Yeah, this guy's right. Every time the Blazers have an outstanding performance from a player, that guy is required to sit out several games.
Does feel like that a little bit, right? Because
didn't Powell score like 30
yeah,
the other night?
Yeah, 34.
He was good yesterday. Yeah.
He was powering the Blazers, according to Jordan
to
Candleman.
A 20-point loss.
Yeah. At the time, it was in the middle of the being down 20 in the 47, you know, point first quarter. But, you know, you played good on offense.
Okay, guys.
It's going to take a while to hit their stride. Don't worry about it. They'll be fine. They're going to be okay.
They've only played 50-some games.
How I know they're not? Because we've seen this act before.
Yes.
So.
Yes, we have.
I think we know how this ends.
Well, and we pointed out.
It's either going to be an injury or a first-round exit or both.
Because quick at it.
It's a five-game first-round exit.
The fewest wins against teams that are 500 or better this year. Tied for 26th. Your Portland Trail Blazers. With the Cleveland Cavaliers. They have beat 8 teams with a 500 record or better. There are 22 games remaining, 16 of them teams that are 500 or better.
Do you think they'd be better defensively if they just had Lillard 1-on-5?
I don't think that would work out so well.
No.
No. It probably would be a bit of a struggle. I think he might.
Did you watch him last night?
I think he might struggle to guard some of the other team's bigs, you know.
I think you ought to try it.
See what
can't
happens.
Be any worse.
Oh, I have 47 points in a quarter. Yikes.
They suck.
Their offense is great. Their defense. I'm not sure which is like, is the offense better or is the defense worse?
The defense is worse.
Yeah.
Didn't take
it's long. 29th, man.
Also, I'm not sure
their offense is first.
If you guys noticed this, and this is maybe just naive on my part, but the assistant coaches, every defensive possession, you could hear them just screaming assignments and rotations at the players, like constantly. I don't know if that's normal or not. I you know, with crowds, you never really heard that anyway. But it seems as if that's not normal, the Blazers need all the help they can get from the assistants yelling at them what to do on defense.
And yet they don't do it.
No.
Or the coaches are yelling the wrong things because it doesn't work. By the way, they don't have the best offense. I don't know why you keep saying that.
Since the All-Star break, they do.
They're 7th in offensive efficiency.
Since the All-Star break. It's the best offense in the league. Since the All-Star break, it's the worst defense in the league. So, it's, you know.
For the season.
Hey, you take the good with the bad.
7th on offense, yeah. 29th on defense. But they have a good record because they have the most clutch player in the league.
Yes, they have Damian Lillard.
So, in Damian Lillard.
That's enough sports.
How many points do they lose to the Jazz by on Thursday?
No, they're going to beat the Jazz. And then Blazer fan will then scream that they want the Jazz in the playoffs.
So they're going to lose by 30?
Yeah, probably.
Nah, 12.
No, what the
312.
Line is. Look, when they're playing good
Ooh,
teams,
what is the line?
Fade the Blazers. I'll bet you it's 5.5, maybe 6.5.
You think so?
Well, they played them once this year and they lost by 20. So.
The Jazz played tonight against the Suns.
So. Yeah, and the Blazers don't have anybody.
And the Blazers are just sitting there in Utah. Yes. Waiting, licking their chops.
Stewing after their
stewing.
Embarrassing loss.
Because they're so pissed.
Anybody?
6.5.
Okay.
What?
Suk, why do you have to break those? Sometimes I just want to see how long they go. I want the engineer to get a dead air alarm from
what
us not talking.
Happening?
How long does a dead air have to happen before he gets an alarm on his phone?
I'm not sure. It's like 10 or 20 seconds, something like that.
You taking the Blazers plus 6.5?
No, I am not.
Are you taking the Jazz minus 6.5?
No, I'm not doing that either.
Maybe that's one that you don't touch. Look, I'll say this. When they're playing better teams.
Utah money line.
Dude, it's either fade the Blazers or don't touch it.
All right, the club is next. People Googling their illnesses. It works. 601 on the fan.